Would you turn with me this evening to Mark chapter 1? I'm reading from verse 40 to 42. A very familiar story that I hope to unpack that would enlighten you and challenge you to take on a different mentality that will progress you extremely fast. I'm reading from the NIV, and here's what it says. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, can you make me clean?" Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out his hands and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, in Jesus' day, leprosy was one of the most horrific diseases a person could have contracted. In fact, when you contracted leprosy, it was a death sentence. Those who had leprosy, they said that these were the walking dead. It was only a matter of time before they died. When you contracted leprosy, basically, you were as good as dead. The Bible tells us that since there was no hospitals in the time of Jesus, I don't know if you know this truth, but hospitals came after the law stopped. And the reason hospitals came prior after the law was that when in Jesus' time, when a person got sick, such as having leprosy, they would have to be checked. And so they were checked by the priests, not a hospital. So what would happen is that there were various types of skin diseases. And so in order to determine what type of skin disease an individual had, they would have to go and see a priest. And that priest would check to see if it was leprosy, if it was scabs, if it was whatever. And based on the determination of the priest, a certain set of laws were applied to that individual. So let me show you. Jump on over to Leviticus 13, 4 to 5, and let me show you the law that was applied to leprosy. So when a person was diagnosed with leprosy, they would apply this Levitical law to them. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. This law was applied. Now, if you understand the Bible, when you are diagnosed with certain things and you're under the law demands and directs your path. The law was the standard of life for every human being. So there was no opportunities for hospitals, in case you're wondering. Now, the reason why the law was applied was because leprosy was a highly contagious disease that was considered incurable. So in order to protect other people, they would immediately quarantine those that got leprosy so that they would not contaminate other individuals and affect the masses. So the law of Moses, in fact, and let me put it this way, the law of Moses, in fact, included 61 different rules about what could make a person unclean. 61 different rules. And at the top of the list was touching a dead body. So there is a law for that. And second to that, touching a dead body, was leprosy. So number one, if I touched a dead person, I'd be considered unclean. That's an immediate expulsion. And number two, if you had leprosy, That was also an immediate expulsion. Those were the top two things that made people unclean. So by making such, the question is, why would they make such a big deal about leprosy? Well, there are two reasons. Write them down. The first reason why leprosy was so focused upon was that leprosy in the Bible represented sin. Did you write it down? Say amen. Leprosy had four major things that it did. Number one, leprosy made a person unclean. And when you are considered unclean, you were to be removed from the camp. You were separated from worship. In other words, you were separated from God. So leprosy, in type of sin, sin separates us from God. Everybody say, sin separates us from God. Amen. Number two. Leprosy had the tendency to spread very quickly. And so, like sin, leprosy would start in a small way. It would be like a little rash. And then eventually, it would start developing into this nodular type thing where your nose falls off, your finger falls off, etc. And the same way sin works. Sin, the Bible says, sin is like leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump over time. Yeast then, if you put a little yeast in something and you don't manage to get, you can't get it out, but you put a little yeast over time, it the whole dough is contaminated with that yeast. And so the same way leprosy works. Leprosy is it starts small, but it contaminates the entire life. Amen. It was, number three, it was humanly incurable. It was humanly incurable. Of course, today we've got medicine to cure leprosy. And I want to let you know, they would have not discovered that medicine until the law died. Please hear me as I preach. So, humanly, leprosy was impossible to cure in those days. Guess what also has no cure? Sin. Just as people cannot cleanse leper, they cannot cleanse themselves. None of you here tonight could clean yourself of sin. It doesn't matter if you pray, you cannot clean yourself of sin from sin. Sin, the only cure for sin tonight is the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. That's the only cure tonight. So leprosy has no cure, and therefore sin could not be cured before grace came. Amen, somebody. In order for you to be cured of leprosy, you need a divine intervention. In order for you to be cured of leprosy, you need a miracle outside of yourself. Because you were ostracized, you needed somebody to come in and intervene on your behalf. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us, did he not? We were incurable of our sins. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he took upon himself the form of man. And he came just like one of us. And he died on the cross bearing our sins, our shame, our poverty, our sickness. And he rose again triumphantly and victoriously to give us the victory when we put our faith in him. Everybody say amen. 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 Number four. Leprosy requires isolation. Lepers had to stay outside of the camp, away from others. And as I said, sin is the same way. Sin isolates us from God. Not just separate us, but there's a difference between separation and isolation. You know, a young couple can be married and have some issues, and there is a need for separation. The young couple, of course, don't give up their responsibility to take care of the bills and the children, etc., even though they may be living apart. Separation doesn't mean cut off. But in the case of leprosy, it went a little bit farther than cutting you off from worship. It isolated you. Isolation means no access, no resources, no blessing, no favor, nobody looking for you, nobody cares. You are doomed. You will die in that isolation without help. And that's what sin has done. Sin not only separated us, sin is not only incurable, sin is not only spread over time, sin also isolates you. It stops you from the blessing of God. Now that's pretty scary. I told you that leprosy does two things. The second thing that leprosy does, that when people contracted leprosy, was that leprosy was a sign of God's judgment. So first, leprosy represented sin. But I want you to hear me tonight. Leprosy also represented a sign of God's judgment. Let's look at verse 40 of my text. I want you to see this tonight. Understand the text as you read it. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, If you are willing, you can make me clean, or can you make me clean? Notice the man didn't ask Jesus to heal him. Uh-oh. He had a problem in his life. It was obvious that what he needed was healing, but sometimes we miss the big picture when we read the text. The man didn't ask Jesus to heal him. That's not what the man wanted. The man came to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, can you make me clean?" They didn't ask him for healing. You see, sometimes, and let me go here, sometimes we have financial problems, but we don't realize that our financial problems is not linked to the fact we don't have a job. There's a bigger picture behind that. Sometimes we have marital problems, and we don't understand that it's not just my husband who is always picky that I have a problem with. There's a bigger picture to that. And I want you to see the bigger picture here. The man realized that his issue was not that he was sick, not that he needed healing, but that he needed cleansing. He needed to get some stuff out of his life. Talk to me, married couples. I said, married couples, talk to me. You say, maybe you need to get your mama out of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'm glad we did that, baby. You don't understand. Maybe you need to get that kid out of your marriage. You know the one from the other woman? Not you, Dan. Not you. You can stay, son. I had to recover, Lisa. I had to recover on that one. I didn't want him to go home feeling bad. You understand, sometimes the problem is not the problem, but the problem is a bigger problem. You got to hear this preacher tonight, because sometimes what you think is the problem is not really the problem. It could be a demon behind that thing. It could be sin behind that thing. Maybe the problem that you're having is you're watching pornography. And so you can't have fun with your wife. It's a bigger problem. I want you to understand the gospel here tonight. The gospel is not always what you think it is. He, this man, if you looked at him, he would have probably lost a nose, a finger, whatever. And you would say, man, we got to pray for that guy's finger. not as big as we need to pray for. He's got a bigger problem. I hope you're hearing this preacher tonight. Hallelujah. Anybody hearing me in this house? I can't hear you. Under the law, this man was considered unclean. You know what the problem for this man was? The law. I said his problem was the law. Write it down. The leper's problem was not his leprosy. The leper's problem was the law. The law, Leviticus, says that because he has this disease, he is considered unclean and now he is to be isolated. In other words, you are cursed. The law saw this man as a curse. The law saw this man as useless. The law saw this man as a nobody. The law, when the law looks at you, when you sin, when you mess up, the law is there to judge you, condemn you, criticize you, isolate you, and insult you. The problem of this man is not his leprosy. The problem of this man is the law. Everybody said the problem is the law. In Deuteronomy 28, 27, part of the curse of disobedience, which in fact started in Deuteronomy 15, and I don't know if anybody's ever read Deuteronomy 15, we will get to that in a minute. In Deuteronomy 28, 27, when you had a skin disease of any kind or a disease of any kind, people, or Deuteronomy, the law says that you are not fit for a blessing. You are cursed. So anybody that walked around and they had any type of skin impediments, and the law found you, the law, everybody say the law says you must now be judged, and that judgment is placed on you, and whatever that judgment says you are, you are. In this case, this man, God knows how he contracted the thing. Probably went to help a buddy of his. And he caught it. And now he's guilty by association. He's guilty and he didn't even do anything wrong. He didn't even cause it upon himself. He's guilty because something happened to him that should never have happened to him. But he's guilty nevertheless. So the Bible tells us that like leprosy, or leprosy is a part of the curse that comes from breaking God's law. If you broke God's law, your curse, and by having skin disease, you now are considered also as part of that curse. So in other words, people believed because of sin or by breaking God's law, they got leprosy. Let me put it down based on Deuteronomy 28, 27. So based on Deuteronomy 28, 27, anytime somebody had leprosy, they would immediately jump to that person and says, "Oh, that's because he's a sinner. That's why he got that." Have you ever heard that type of teaching? It comes from the law. That's a law-based teaching. And we got to pay notice to it tonight. So something goes wrong, the first thing everybody starts doing is repenting. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get sick, "Oh man, I wonder if I have unforgiveness in my heart. I better go forgive that person, because if I don't forgive them, God's not going to heal me." That comes from the law. That teaching comes from the law. I used to teach it because I was a law-based fool. I used to teach that garbage. I got to forgive you, Thomas. If not, God's not going to heal me. That's law based. Because it was based on what you did or didn't do. So if you did something wrong, you were cursed. And if you did something right, that curse lifted off of you. And now you came back under the blessing of God. Everybody say law based teaching. Good. My critics are going to love this one tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. So watch this. When leprosy came on that man, he started to believe that he did something wrong to cause this to come upon him. Because that's what the law teaches. He started to think, and people around him started to think, well, man, she's got leprosy. She must be a bad, bad girl, bad to the bone. Isn't that what people say? When bad things are happening to you, the next thing they say, I must have done something wrong. You know what? That's because they did this, and they start to remember all the things that you did to them. And then they start to say, it's because they did this to me. Really? Really? You know how many people, if you ever heard that I was sick, you know how many people will say, good for him because he did this to me. Thank God there's no amens there. Hallelujah. I had to get the bouncers out. It's amazing when you're in a law-based environment how the law thinks. How the law reacts to your woes. The law immediately says, you did something wrong. That's why you lied, you cheat, you did this, you did that, you did. And then, of course, law-based people, everybody say law consciousness. Everybody say sin consciousness. Start to think now, I'm not getting blessed. I'm in this situation because I probably did something wrong. That's why you pray every night and ask God to forgive you, because you don't understand the depth of his forgiveness and you're still believing in the law, and you think because you go to bed at night and if you had sin in your life that you would probably wake up in hell. You're a law-based person. That's the law. That's how the law works. I'm showing to you so you can learn. I've been studying the law for 15 years. Because I lived it for another 15. You don't want to know me when I was under the law. You all go to hell, I'd resurrect you every week and send you back. Hallelujah. So watch this. When the leper came to Jesus, he wasn't asking for healing. He was asking Jesus to release him from the curse that he was under. That's what he's asking. Because he believed that word. Go back to my text. A man with leprosy came and begged on his knees. He said, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. He's not asking for healing. He could have said, Lord, would you heal me? Like other people came to Jesus and asked for healing. But he so believed that this thing has come upon him because of what he did. And if you're a follower of Job, Job said the same thing. These things had come upon me because of my kids' sin. A lot of you believe that. A lot of you believe that, whether you believe it or not. A lot of you believe that. And it's been the problem of God moving in your life. That's why some of you can't progress. You have bad teachings. Thank God you're here tonight for some good teaching. Ah, my. For somebody to declare Jesus, can you clean me? They're not thinking about healing. They're not thinking about healing at all. In order for that man to be cleansed, he needed a miracle. Everybody say he needed a miracle. Because the law cannot clean you. The law teaches, especially in Deuteronomy 28, from 15 to 68, that many sicknesses and disease and setbacks are connected to sin and disobedience. I want to show it to you so you can go home and have something to ponder. First slide, please. Diseases of sin. This is all under the law. Deuteronomy 28. Boils, tumors, scabs, and itching. Madness, blindness, confusion. Incurable diseases. Severe and long, prolonged plagues. Every kind of sickness, disease is not written in the book. Famine and drought. No rain. Failed crops. Defeat by the enemy. Being overpowered in battle. Loss of children and family. Sons and daughters taken. Job. Economic failure because of labor, business and labor failings. Look at this. Oppression and robbery. Being cheated and mistreated. Exile and slavery, being removed from the land. Fear and anxiety, constant terror and uncertainty. All comes from the law. Everybody say they all come from the law. You don't need to take a picture. It's in Deuteronomy, starting from verse 15 to 68. Just read the Bible. Some of the stuff that you're going through, the law gives it to you. The law cancels. It says if you disobey, these things will come on you. Everybody said the law puts sickness on me. Really? If you disobey, these things shall come upon you. You don't understand how detrimental the law is. It shocks me when people want to follow the law. I know they're not reading the Bible. These curses were the consequences of breaking God's law under the old covenant. But everybody said, but thank God for Jesus. Come on, everybody say, but thank God for Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ had done what? Redeemed us from the curse. All those things I listed, he took them from you. He took madness. He took poverty. He took every kind of sickness and disease. He took skin problems. Did we read anything about hair growth on that? I must have missed that one, Pastor Thomas. I missed that one. Jesus took your sins and he took your punishment. He took what the law says you should have and he bore it on the cross. What a Jesus. What a man. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. You understand what Jesus has done, folks? Romans 6:14, look at this. How did you get cursed under the law? When you sinned. How did the leper believe that he had leprosy? He thought it was because of his sin. And look at what Romans says. Romans says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not. It's referencing Deuteronomy 28. It's telling us that since sin brought these diseases, Jesus has removed sin, and therefore Jesus removed sin, none of these diseases should come upon you. Watch this. The problem is this. We have consequences on our conscience. Where is the consequence? You have consequences on your conscience. And since the church has consequences on their conscience, they open the door for the consequences they believe in. I could stop here and we can pray. I got just a little bit more to go. Can I say this with much love and honor? It's not about being Christian. God doesn't want Christians. God doesn't want churchgoers. God wants you to become born again. I'm not a Christian. Woo, surprise. I'm saved. I'm born again. When you come to Jesus, you are born again. And when you become born again, you are made a new creation in Christ. The reason God makes you a new creation is to show that you are no longer under the law. Why does he do it? To show you that you are no longer under the law. You are not the old man. You are a new species on the earth. Amen. Now, because the church doesn't understand what Christ has done for us, many of us still suffer because we are sin conscious. Not somebody said, I hope you're not sin conscious. Hey. Sin consciousness is a funny thing. What is sin consciousness? Let's define it. When you are sin conscious, you're constantly thinking about the mistakes, or you're constantly feeling guilty for things you've done wrong, and you're constantly condemning yourself. Oh, if I've done this, this would never have happened to me. That's called sin consciousness. Sin consciousness wakes you up to the law that these things happen because I broke some law. Amen. You still think, obviously, you think you're still under the law. But the law has been erased from your life. The law constantly reminds people of their sin. The law and its system of sacrifice, I believe it's Hebrew 10. If you got that, you can pop that up. I'm not sure if you got it. Don't got it? Hebrews 10, 1 to 3, I think. The law makes, everybody said the law makes us sin conscious. Let's learn. For the law, having a shadow of good things, it's not real, it's just shadow. Let me say that over here, this side is sleeping. The law, having a shadow, do you want to buy a shadow car? Oh, good. So now you understand the word shadow. Who wants to buy a shadow house? Who wants a shadow wife? Listen, you got to learn the Bible, man. I'm here to teach you. You got to learn. I know it's Saturday night and you got a party to do. Come to church. You're missing out. Watch. The law having a shadow, it's not real, of good things to come. And not the very image of the thing. It's not the real thing. Can never with these same sacrifice, which they offer continually year after year, make those who approach perfect. So the law can't change you. Look, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshiper, once purified, would have no more. So why do you still have sin consciousness? Because you still think you're under the law. I had a gal last week, Paul, strange enough, comes here after hearing a profound message on grace, stands there and decides to argue with me. Now, of course, the devil always tried to make me look like the bad guy, which I know well. I've done it for years. And she's telling me, she says, Pastor, when you sin, do you feel guilty? I go, no. Because I have no. You can only feel guilty when you think you broke a law. I feel bad that I did it, but I don't feel guilty. Uh-oh. This is new theology for an old church. Oh, the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. He does not. Because the Bible says you do not have a You don't have a sin conscience. So all these people that stand up and say, oh, the Holy Spirit convict me, you're law-based. Holy Spirit doesn't convict you of sin. The Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness. Oh, I'm convicted. I never preach from this pulpit conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't do that. I read the Bible. For me to tell you the Holy Spirit's going to convict you is to still tell you that you still have a sin conscience. But my Bible says he took your sin consciousness away. Amen. So why do you still have it? Because you still think you are under the law. And you know why you judge people for their sins? Because you still think they are under the law. That's why you judge them. Hallelujah. Why is it so quiet tonight? My God. My God. Pardon me. Another thing that makes us sin conscious is the religious teachings of performance. You know, I like to simplify it, but people put it this way. If you don't do this, you don't get that. Where did that come from, everybody? Deuteronomy. Everybody said Deuteronomy? 28. You have to learn. Deuteronomy 28 tells us, if you don't do good, you get cursed. If you do good, you get blessed. That is called the law. And so people go around teaching us, well, if you don't obey, you ain't gonna get blessed. How many times have you heard that garbage? Obedience brings blessing. No, my friend, Jesus brings blessings. One amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You don't get it. Because you constantly think you're under the law. And you, what you do is you cancel your effectiveness with your sin consciousness. Everybody say, I cancel my effectiveness with my sin consciousness. What does that mean? It means that when I go to do something, immediately the enemy knows I got sin consciousness. He said, you can't do that. Remember what you did last night? You're not a good person. Look how rude you are. Look how messed up you are. I get it. You're rude and messed up. But somebody said, Jesus on the inside. Staying on the inside. Working from the inside. And one day I'm going to look good on the outside. Good. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Let's preach the gospel, man. So people would come and say, you can't receive if you don't pray more. We got to have prayer meetings, Pastor Asif. No! Well, we got to fast. No! I'm not against prayer. I'm not against fasting. If you believe that your effort brings blessing, then what do you do with the effort of Jesus? One has to go. It's either you go, or he stays alive, or it's either you live and he dies for you. Did Jesus die for you or not? Is Jesus your savior or not? Is Jesus the blesser or not? Is Jesus the healer or not? Then what are you doing trying to save yourself? Because you are sin conscious. You are law conscious. The worst part of this sin consciousness that I've ever seen is people lacking understanding of how they have become righteous in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, righteousness was based on works. In the New Testament, righteousness is based on what Jesus has done for you. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, have you ever heard people say these words? If you are saved by grace, let me put it this way. We are still sinners saved by grace. I need to ruin this one. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and you're all proud of it. You're all happy. Oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm so happy with that context. Well, I want to let you know tonight that I ain't no sinner, but I have been saved by grace. Listen to me. Listen to this preacher. I'm going to get you to the place you need to go. Watch this. It's not true. It's not true. This is a sin-conscious statement. This is not the gospel of grace. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask this to you. Are you a sinner because you sin, or you sin because you are a sinner? This side is sleeping. Are you a sinner because you sin? You got that? I'm a sinner because of my action. Are you a sinner because you sin, or you sin because you are a sinner? Which is it? Good, let's explain it. Because I think some people still think they're sinners. And when they hear the pastor says, I'm not a sinner, they get upset. Religion comes out with claws. Oh, I don't like what the pastor's preaching. Go read your Bible, you'll like it. Watch this. Watch this. If you say you sin because you're a sinner, then you're suggesting that sinning is a result of your nature. Correct? It means that a person sins not because they choose to sin, but because they were born in sin, and so they sin out of their nature. Amen. But if you say you are a sinner because of what you do or because of your sins, then you're suggesting that you became a sinner because you committed an act of sin. In other words, sinning is what makes you a sinner. How many of you here still think you're a sinner because you sinned? That's been the problem in the church. We believe we are sinners because we sin. Well, I want to let you know, if you slept in the garage tonight, does that make you a car? If what you do make you something, because that's what the world teaches, sweetie. The world says, because you don't fix your hair is a mess, but to you it's style and fashion. It's funny how this thing has swept itself into the church. We are judged by behavior rather than being judged by who we are. Can I teach you this? Because you can't be under the grace message and not know this. This is ABCs. So what does the Bible teach us about sin and sinning? Let's look at Romans 5:19 for a minute and get scripture for these things. Are you getting anything out of this? I'm almost done. Are you getting anything out of this? I hope so. If not, I won't see you next week. The pastor is preaching me false doctrine. Not really. But you'll never admit you believe wrong. For as by one man's, let's call it sin, because disobedience in Deuteronomy 28 is sin. So as by one man's sin, disobedience, many were, keyword, circle it, made. You were not a sinner because you sinned. You were made a sinner. Touch somebody and tell them, you were made a sinner. That's why Romans 6:23 says, all have sinned. Because you were all made a sinner. How did you get made a sinner? From Adam. He disobeyed God, and you're Adam's seed, and you all became disobedient and rebellious against God, and God classifies you all as sinners. So according to the Bible, you are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. You do what? You sin because you're a sinner. If we were sinners because we sin, that means we could stop sinning and somehow make ourselves righteous. And if we could do that, then we don't need a Savior. Theology 101. If you could change your actions like AA says, gotcha, then you don't need a Savior. If you could heal yourself, you don't need a healer. If you listen, ladies, if you can bless yourself, you don't need a man. Hallelujah. Or in this case, a woman. You got to understand the depth of the food I'm feeding you tonight. One cancels the other. It's either you sin because you're a sinner, or you were made a sinner. What is it tonight? Are you sinning because you're a sinner? Or sin makes you a sinner? Which is it? Not your neighbor and say, stay with the Bible. Not your neighbor and say, stay with the Bible. We preach and we talk so much about, oh, the Bible is the word of God, and I believe it. Believe this. The Bible teaches that you were born in sin, Romans 5:12. And let me just go quickly through it, but please indulge me. This message will be online. I intend to post it everywhere because people need to know the truth. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man's sin, entered the world. And what? Death through sin. You know what that death is? All the diseases from Deuteronomy 28. That's what that death is. All those diseases. Now, it's not just spiritual death. It's death by the law. Because you would not know sin unless you had the law. Death. So all these things that you're going through is connected to your sin consciousness. And you're not getting the breakthrough because you still see yourself under the law as being punished and not good enough to earn it. You don't have to earn. Jesus paid it all. Can I tell you something that's going to surprise you? You need to write it down. Sin is more than breaking laws. Have you ever heard people talk about sin? Oh, you sinned because you broke Moses. I don't even follow that. I don't even know the guy. Who the heck is Moses? Say with me, sin is more than breaking laws. If sin was only about breaking laws, then the Jews would be perfect. Because they kept more laws than you and I. Can you learn this tonight? We became sinners because of Adam, not because we sinned. The law merely showed us our sins. That's what Romans says. The law showed us our sin. We sin and break God's law because of our sin nature. Hello, somebody. The sin nature is what makes you lie and steal and cheat and break God's law. But once you come under grace, you no longer have that sin nature because any man in Christ, he's a new creation. And you're no longer under the law. Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. And therefore, you don't have that sin nature. You actually don't want to sin anymore. Amen, somebody. Sinning is not something you wake up in the morning and choose. I was telling my son Dan, when I was young, I used to sit down and think about how many sin. I didn't have to think about sin, in fact. I just got up and I was doing my business. 9 to 5. I spent years in jail because I was a sinner. But do you know when you become born again, you actually have to now think about doing something wrong. But before, it was unconscious because it was your nature. Now you have to stop and say, why do I feel this way? But I like his buttocks, but it's not right. It's not right. Everybody say, buttocks are not right. Amen. You need a right and a left. Hallelujah. I'll leave that there. That's not right or no. I'm joking, but let's keep going for a few minutes. I got to get this done because I need this stuff to be out there so that people can grow in God's grace. Our sinful status wasn't based on our actions. It was based on our identity. My sinning was based on my identity. I was a sinner, born in sin, and therefore I sin. And if my sinning is based on my identity, now I'm a child of God, my living is also based on my identity. Watch this. So how can a child of God who's been saved, born again, made a new creation, go around telling people they are sinners saved by grace? That word sinner shouldn't even be there. You're just saved by grace. Hallelujah. That's false teaching. That's sin consciousness. What do you think happened to you when you became born again? You got saved, your old man died, and a new man was resurrected and given to you. Amen. Everybody said the old is gone, the new is here. So let's start talking with the new vocabulary. I'm saved by grace. Don't add sinner. That guy died. Everybody said a sinner died. Everybody said a sin nature in me died. He died. You know why you got baptized? So we can show the old man died and the new man rose to life. How many of you need to get baptized tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I said. You are no longer a sinner. In fact, can I give you a scripture that can really ruin the rest of your night? Colossians 1:28. I don't think I have it done, but just for the sake of ruining somebody's life. Pardon. Colossians 1:28. I know it's a lot of scriptures, but when I'm breaking bad teachings, I use my Bible. I don't use my mouth. Opinions are like garbage cans to me. They're everywhere. Scripture, life. Colossians. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man all wisdom. You notice we're not warning about sin? That ye may present every man what? Not somebody and tell him I'm perfect in Christ. That should ruin you. You know, you ever heard the teaching? There's nobody perfect. Pull this scripture. Pull this scripture. There's nobody perfect. Really? Then you don't believe your Bible. I'm perfect. Why you have to have Christ? Religious guy. I know it's Christ. I gotta be. Who's this religious guy? But you hear this stupid teaching everywhere. And you know what? We put it on the TV every Sunday and whatever night. I go, hallelujah, it's a good teaching. Bunch of false doctrine. Because you're so intrigued by personality that you can't understand truth when it's presented to you in simplicity. It's amazing how that works. Watch this. When you are born again, you were made righteous. I think we called it earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that, what did you become? What did you become? So why are you saying you're a sinner? It tells you right here, you are actually righteous. Why don't you start calling yourself by what he calls you? Because you are sin conscious. That's why we have all this bad teaching. We are too sin conscious and we're not grace conscious or Jesus conscious enough. And so what we do is we pervert the brain by going back and forth, back and forth. Just like you didn't commit sin to be a sinner, you don't have to live righteous to be righteous. Jesus Christ made you righteous. Like Adam made you a sinner, Jesus made you righteous. So you cannot go around saying, I'm a sinner. You are no longer under Adam's curse. You are now under the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I'm righteous. And I'm not a sinner. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. He's so cool. Jesus didn't just forgive us of our sins. He changed us at our core. Can I say that again over here? Jesus didn't just forgive you of your sins. He changed you at your core. Look at this slide. I'm almost done. He removed our sin nature and gave us his nature. Take a snap of it quickly. Those are all the scriptures. Romans 6:6. We know that our old sinful selves was crucified. Colossians 2:11. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is not I that lives anymore. Hallelujah. Can we go to the next one? Look at this. God gives you a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creation. 2 Peter 1:4, you have been made partakers of the divine. No sinner can partake of the divine. You'll die. Having escaped what? The corruption that is in this world through lust. Ephesians 4:24, look at it. Look at what it tells you. Put on the new nature. Put it in your head. Stamp it on your brain. Put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That's who you are tonight. That's who you are tonight. Devil, I give you a warning. You're messing with a bunch of great, amazing people. You are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You are righteous because he saved you by grace. Amen? So watch this. Sin consciousness then, when it's on your mind, when it's on your head, when you constantly think you're a sinner, you put yourself in jeopardy. Some of you think that you have a dual nature. You still have a sin nature and now you're saved. You don't. There's only one spirit inside of you, and that's God. As he is, so are you in the world. And you don't have a dual nature, my dear beloved friend. You only have Christ in you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So the worldly man is dead. Christ is greater in you. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is you got to stop this dual nature thinking and start thinking from a place of victory. You are now seated in heavenly places, both inside and outside and everything else. You got to hear me tonight, friend. We got to change the way we think about Christ. We got to start living from God's grace. By doing that, we kill the sin consciousness. And by sinning, killing the sin consciousness, the curses of the sin cannot come upon you. Because your sin consciousness is an open door, the curses that Deuteronomy says that if you break the law or commit sin is coming upon you. It's an open door. And all you got to do is shut it. Shut it by simply believing you are not a sinner. And stop begging God every night for forgiveness.